So how am I sounding? Can I get a mic check there, Phil?
Did you start?
Well, I got my pop filter on there in case I want to start rapping. I won't go pit pop, pit pop, you know.
I really hope you do, man. I hope you got a rap laid up for when you win the Nationals with your roller fly, and it's going to be glorious.
I want to thank all my listeners on my Potify podcast for supporting me in every single way. I'm going to tell you something, man. My weavers and my turn. Don't you be. Oh, you're recording this.
There's our opener. That's great. That took it easy. So this is a pretty special episode we're doing here. We're going to talk to somebody with excellent taste in podcasts, at least. He's a listener from Australia. We're in over 40 different countries. We got listeners, and Australia is like one of the top three. The U.S., Australia, and the U.K. A lot of listeners in Australia. You guys got a cool country out there. You guys are really strong in the pigeon sport over there. It's been happening pretty long. We're bringing on a guy named John Eid. He's coming on. He's a listener of the podcast. He's a contributor on the Facebook group. This guy does some pretty great pigeon memes as well. So we're going to ask him about that as well. So you got a little bit choppy there.
Yeah, I told me I was unstable. The internet knows me. Well, my connection.
It's your fortune teller. You're unstable.
No kidding.
I better base my whole week around this.
I live with 100 pigeons.
Yeah, crazy cat lady ain't got nothing on you, man.
Hey, so I was, that's completely off topic. They said that there's a parasite, Toxoplasma, it's some Dubai, maybe? It turns people into hermits and makes them worship their cats. They did studies. It's like a real deal.
So cats know how to create bioweapons is what you're saying now? This is crazy.
No, they're turning you into their servant, fool.
Who else benefits besides the cat?
You have to look it up. It's like real. I used to go outside all the time until I met my cat. Now I bring the pigeons in the house.
I'm curious to see what's going to be like when they find that parasite that turns a bunch of people into pigeon fanciers. They even referred to it as the pigeon bug.
You treat that with Canker X Plus, I think.
Yeah, a good good outbreak in your loft will cure you of that disease. So, with that, let's bring in Mr. John Eid.
Welcome to the All About Pigeons podcast. You're caller number 9. You just won. I don't even
caller know. Number 9 gets the garbage. It's caller number 10 that gets the prize.
Oh, my bad. April Fools.
Yeah, belated. Hey, John, are you there? Can you hear us?
I think your mic's muted. You're doing the same stuff I do.
Okay. You said, yeah, it's got to be him. Says, I think I'm
over. Are you there, buddy? He's like, he's listening to us going, these guys are idiots. I'm going to talk to him. You got to unmute.
What have I agreed to?
Holy crap, this guy.
He says he's trying to unmute right now. So, hey, John, try harder. Let's just bust this guy's balls while he's on mute the whole time. He can't say nothing back.
He's not muted anymore.
Now he just doesn't want to talk to us.
I feel you. Phil, are you sure this isn't one of your AI deals?
I should have given him that recaptcha test to see how many of the pictures contained a bus. Dang it.
Remember on, you know, Half Baked, yeah? Smoking marijuana. Fix the marijuana. There you go. It's connecting to the audio. I see it. I can see it. This is exciting. The suspense is killing me.
I know. He got the check mark.
He got connected. Nice, nice. Anything else? We're going to have a grand entrance here. I don't hear him.
I think he's muting by choice. Oh, my goodness. I think
holy
I
crap. I heard him.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
What's
John?
What's going on?
Sorry about that.
No worries. We were just having a good old time while you couldn't defend yourself.
Oh, mate. No. Shots fired. That was a bit embarrassing. I'm really not a computer person. And like I was like peeking out then. I'm like, don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Well, hey, man. I'm glad we're able to make this work out. It's It's a heck of a time difference between the two of us. So, but 6 o'clock Friday here is noon Saturday for you.
Yeah, wow.
So yeah, it the other day when you were like, what about this time? I asked Google what time it was like midnight my time. I was like, yeah, that can't happen. So I'm happy we're able to get you on here, man. I definitely appreciate it. We wanted to talk with some of the listeners.
Yeah, good that. My pleasure to be here, guys.
I got to say too, man, I really appreciate that you contribute a lot to the Facebook group and stuff like that. The memes, man, you got some hilarious memes on there.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a wicked personality. So my brain doesn't stop. So sometimes I see things and I think, oh yeah, I can alter that a bit.
Yeah.
But it's hard to keep up with you sometimes. I've saved a few of yours.
Well, I've sent you a couple just through Messenger because I'm like, and Chris will tell you, man, I'm always like, hey, Chris, I don't know about this, man. If I put this up there, I think a bunch of people are going to get all pissed off and start whining. Because sometimes people are just like, they start these comment threads about, you know, well, actually, da 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 da. I'm like, dude, it's a meme. It's literally a joke. You know, like you're taking this in the wrong direction. And you know, Chris will always be like, I don't care, man, everything's fine, you know? And then I look on there and you post some stuff that's pretty edgy and I'm like, okay, I guess it's fine. I'll put it up there, whatever.
Like you say, it is only a joke and yeah, some people can take it the wrong way. I have had a few comments in the past, but yeah, it's all meant in good fun, you know? We all enjoy the hobby and it's just to make people have a bit of a laugh at the end of the day.
That's it. Yeah, exactly. That's it. So speaking of a hobby, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, how you got started with pigeons and what you're doing now?
Yeah, so really I've loved pigeons since a very young age, probably about 5 years of age. And I was living in Sydney, Australia, and there's this really old guy that lived next door to me. And you know, he sort of took me under his wing a little bit and, you know, taught me how to straighten nails out and all sorts of stuff like that. And then and he used to have a flock of wild pigeons that used to go to his house, and you know, he'd feed them with his chickens and sort of, and yeah, it really caught my interest. And then, you know, sometimes you'd see ones with, you know, it was just a wild flock of probably 200 pigeons, and you'd see, you know, a few stragglers in there with rings on their legs. So I was like, oh wow, you know, I might be able to catch them and sort of put them in the pen. And yeah, so that's where it all started. Then, you know, being at a really young age, you know, lots of people I found in the pigeon hobby, a lot of guys, you know, more than helpful to help a young guy out. And sort of, yeah, I acquired a few pigeons as a teenager, kept them for pretty much most of my teenage, from the age of 5 up till about 25-ish years old. And then sort of, yeah, life got carried away and yeah, I had children and moved around a bit, so I didn't have pigeons for a fair few years. But you know, they always held a dear spot in my heart. You know, you'd be walking down the street and just, you know, see a street pecker and still admire it. Always had a fond spot for them. Yeah, like that's basically how it started.
You got racing pigeons now, do you, or fancy, or what you doing?
At the minute I have Birmingham Rollers, have some utility pigeons, Kings, Carnos and Swiss Mondaine, and I have some fantails. Oh, and some Medinas.
Is the roller pigeons a big thing out there?
They're pretty big. I'd say they're one of the bigger breeds that people are interested in. Yeah, in our state, there's not a lot of guys that are serious flyers, but in some of the other states, there are some, yeah, real serious flyers. Yeah, so we compete in the World Cup and, you know, stuff like that. Rollers are definitely where my heart is at.
When do you guys qualify for a World Cup?
It's towards the end of the year, I'm sure. I'm not 100% sure. So basically, a bit about to finish off my side of the story. I, about 25 years of age, got out of pigeons, and then I'm 40 very shortly. And then about at the age, early 30s, I started getting back into pigeons. And I, you know, I'd get on, you know, some of the local sort of advertising Gumtree pages. I don't know if you have Gumtree in America.
Craigslist.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So basically, you know, and I was getting a lot of birds, you know, over a period of 3 to 5 years that were just no good. I knew that there was better out there. So that's when I joined some Facebook pages and really started to find, you know, the best guys in Australia. And yeah, so I've really only had competition flyers for about 2 years now. So I'm not 100% sure of the dates when they actually go for the qualifiers, etc. That's a cracker bird.
That's a nice pretty one.
Yeah,
he's a little too deep. He's pretty dangerous. Yeah. So I put him up. He's actually part of a project I'm doing.
Yeah, right. What bloodline is he, do you know?
This is bred by my friend Alan Weaver.
Very nice looking bird.
Alan's birds are Higgins and Mason base.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of my birds are Mason based.
Supposed to be nice stuff.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the breed. At least the cross of a Mason is a good breed. You guys got roller clubs and racer clubs or all breeds clubs? What's that seem like over there?
Yeah, we have some roller clubs. We've got Sydney Performing Roller Club, Melbourne Performing Rolling Club. So yeah, we've got some good guys in there.
Do you happen to know the radio station in Melbourne, Australia with Ivan Fonte?
No, I'm sure I've heard of it, but I haven't listened to it, no.
Yeah, there's a, because they used to put their episodes up on Spotify. Pigeon Media Australia or Pigeon Radio Australia, I think it is.
Yep.
But they talk to a lot of different race guys and racers and stuff in Australia, and I've listened to that for a while. That's been Ivan Fonte, he does that one. That's pretty interesting to hear. It definitely seems like the racing pigeon world is pretty big over there, but. That's pretty interesting to hear that the rollers are a big thing too. I wanted to guess that.
Yeah, I think, you know, for even guys like myself, you know, to get into racing, it's just so expensive and you're competing against, you know, a lot of people that put a lot of money and time into their birds.
Yeah.
You know, whereas a lot of the other ones you can, they're not so expensive. Like there's some serious racing guys here and the price for their birds is just out of this world.
Well, that's like the same story everywhere. You know, we talk to people all over, and just it's really expensive to get into. It's beyond expensive to try to start a race club if you're not, you know, don't got one nearby. And is one loft racing kind of a thing that's taken off over there too?
Yeah, it is quite big here. A guy that I know, I got a lot of my rollers from, he has a one-loft race, and there's lots of them. There really is. Yeah, I think they're really good.
Is it true that, like, you know, crocodiles are just all over out there and spiders, like the size of dogs, are crawling on everything?
I was waiting for that one. Yeah, it's pretty wild out here. We definitely have the you know, but they're all up north, the crocodiles. No offense, but they make your alligators look like babies. They're pretty wild, these crocodiles.
I'm not offended. I don't have any use for alligators.
Yeah, and just, you know, the snakes are everywhere in Australia. And I think we've got 7 or 8 of the top 10 deadliest in the world.
Oh, congratulations, man.
I'm quite the animal enthusiast. Even as a kid, you know, we'd go up bush just to try and catch them for adrenaline rush. we've probably got a different view on, to us they're not that bad, but to people that aren't used to them probably freak out a bit.
Yeah, that would be fun. What's your biggest predator for your pigeons? I mean, are snakes eating your eggs and stuff? Or
our biggest predators, probably like anyone, is the falcons. Yeah, we get smashed by the falcons here. And yeah, got goshawks. But you know, yeah, you do have a few guys that get the pythons getting into their lofts, and you know, it's
freaking python. This is like Florida.
I've had a bull snake go into my loft before and eat a bunch of my eggs, and just disappeared out some of my young birds. And for a while, I couldn't figure out what it was. I was looking for scratch holes and stuff like that, like a fox or something got in there. And then I found one of my pigeons that was all wet and it was dead. And I was kind of like, this is just weird, you know? And so I sat in there for a while, and sure enough, that bull snake came back the other day. And I was like, I'm guessing he tried eating that one, and it was a little bit too, you know, bit off more than he could chew sort of a situation. But the bull snakes and rattlers are what we have out here, but
yeah,
that's about it.
No, fingers crossed I haven't had any snake encounters yet, but no, that would be pretty devastating.
Snakes are no good in the loft.
No.
Yeah, they're hard to keep out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it's a constant battle. Even, you know, mice and rats, I'm sure you have, you know, they're always constantly trying to rat-proof your cages, and they find a way.
So do you show your fancy pigeons, like those fantails?
I don't show them. The guys that I got them off, they're all from amongst the best stock in Australia. I'll post a few photos of some of my birds later on the podcast page. I've got some real cracker birds. Yeah, I currently don't show them because a lot of the good quality birds that I've got, I've acquired in the last sort of 3 years. And I don't believe in personally showing a bird that you purchased. I think, you know, to show it, you have to breed it.
Right.
You know, taking someone else's glory. So yeah, I'm keen to, you know, get, but I'm still learning so much. There's so much to learn. You know, each individual breed, you're competing against people that have a lot of knowledge. So I sort of, yeah, I'm still learning on what the standards are. Yeah, obviously don't want to put in a dud.
That's cool. So you got Modenas, Fantails. Yeah, we're the state club that we belong to. Modenas are a really big breed. You just see a lot of Modenas at the show. Modenas, Racers, Rollers, those things are probably the top three breeds at our shows.
Yeah, okay. You fly Rollers, don't you?
My son flew Rollers for a while. I do Racing Homers right now, and then I got Parlor Rollers also.
Yeah, nice. I think we used to have parlor rollers here in Australia, but they disappeared about 15 years ago, I think.
The national club here in the States is no longer. There's a big demand for them. So, you know, when you get the strength of having a club that just does better for the breed overall, but I don't even know. I mean, I know that there's people that import and export birds to different countries. I know it's not cheap.
Yeah.
How hard is it for me to get birds from Australia?
I'm not too sure about that. I think it's pretty hard. I think we may have we're not allowed to, as far as I'm aware. I could be wrong.
Last I knew, they were the guys that were doing the quail were trying to get special colors, and they had to pocket the eggs.
Yeah. It'd be nice. I think yous would have heard of Richard Luna. He's a roller guy. He passed away a few years back. He had a lot of good rollers that there was a time where they allowed imports. And yeah, we've got a lot of the Luna bloodlines here in Australia. They're real heavy, deep roller bird. But as far as I'm aware, that was near 20 years ago. And since then, it's been a lot harder to get anything in.
That's sick.
Yeah.
That's not very American.
Oh, yes.
It's probably Australia. It's probably not your fault.
Well, they got to do like quarantines and stuff even from Canada.
Yeah, Canada's even kind of funny about some of that stuff.
Yeah, Australia's very funny with all that stuff. Yeah, you can understand why, but it doesn't make it easy for the enthusiast.
I totally get it. But you would think that they would have some kind of program to...
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. Yeah.
For all we know, like the best birds in the world are probably in North Korea, but we'll just never know about it. You know?
Well, like thing is, like when I went down south of the border, when we crossed the border and we went about 400 miles into Mexico, when we came back to the border town, there were children selling small parrots and parakeets and stuff in wire baskets, cages. These globes tied together, you know. You're not supposed to take them across the border, but they're selling them right there. Beautiful birds you've never seen before. I never knew about that stuff.
Interesting, all these different cultures.
Oh, for sure. But they've got stuff that I'm sure that we're not getting here. Yeah. And they're just walking down the street with them selling.
Hey, John, how did you find our podcast?
I think someone shared one of your memes onto another, maybe the National Birmingham
Roller. Oh, gosh. Now he's going to tell me for 30 minutes how his meme added a customer.
It works.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a sucker for a good meme, and you've had a few good ones. So.
You hear that, Maker? You hear that?
Yeah.
I got to double the meme game now, man.
No, you're definitely my best competition, I'd say. I've got, I think I was one of the first guys to join your page.
You were. And you've always posted good stuff. And You know, yeah, it's been funny. I mean, what do you think of the podcast? What do you like about it? What don't you like about it? Because I can just edit anything you say that I don't agree with anyway.
And anything you say that you regret, just send us $5. We'll take it right out.
We'll let it stay.
you guys have got a good character. I love what you do for the pigeon world. I think it's it's amazing. You know, obviously a lot of work that you've put into it, and you know
that's all Phil.
Fair enough. I enjoy pretty much anything pigeon. So you know, just the fact that you know you're getting out there, spreading the word. I personally love to help people get into the sport. I'll never charge anyone to give them a pigeon. I'm more than happy to, you know, give them good birds and set them up and give them any advice I can. I see, you know, you're basically doing the same thing. I love what you do. I think it's awesome.
That's what we were, or that's what I was up until, what have I been doing this for a year and a half? My first pigeon was given to me by a chicken man. And it was because my wife said that she liked this particular pigeon, and that man handed her a pigeon, and now it's my pigeon.
What was that, only a year and a half ago?
I believe so. I don't know. We've always been animal keepers. You know, we like birds a lot, and we've always had several different kinds, but I never thought of pigeons. Never crossed my mind. I saw some that were pretty cool, and I was kind of hassling her about it. She says, if you got me one of those, we could have a pigeon. So I went, I kind of just casually looked for them, and eventually I found someone that had them. The rest is history, really. You know, I just geeked out on birds, pigeons, and stuff. And
do you have many now?
Oh, I got a couple.
Got some different breeds.
No, Phil, I don't have a lot of different breeds now. Remember, we've streamlined this.
Yeah, that's right.
Quite a bit.
You did have a nice variety for a while there. Now you're really focusing on, because you're flying competitively, so he's really focused on the rollers.
Super into the rollers. The racers are recreational at this point, more for entertainment. You know, like today I was outside and I was wishing I had more other birds to fly because I had already let the two kits of rollers out. I got baby homers going right now, and they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, I personally like the rollers more myself. They're definitely where my heart is at. But I heard a good saying not so long ago, and it was from a good friend, Gary Cinder. He said, one pigeon is too many and 100 is not enough.
Right? That's no kidding. So, well, you know, I enjoyed that pigeon a lot more when I had just that pigeon, but I really enjoyed it all. I mean, no kidding. Yeah. A lot less work to be quite. I like them so much, you know, we put the work in.
Yeah, they're great. And the more you know about them, the more addictive they get.
Yeah, sure. And then the variety of breeds and stuff like that. I mean, it gets down that rabbit hole.
It's so interesting when you have people, you know, come visit and they have no ideas about pigeons, and they look at all the different breeds that you have, and they're just blown away. That, you know, surprised that they could even look like that, because they're just so used to seeing, a stray pigeon in the park. It's quite mind-blowing to some of the breeds that people work so hard to get look the way they do.
Imagine my surprise when somebody handed me a classic old frill and said, here's a pigeon. Are you kidding me? This doesn't look like a pigeon. This is pretty. It looked, something, you know, very different from what you'd see running around town.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, fantails, modinas. I mean, modinas are like a chicken almost, and fantails and modinas, extremes. I mean, parlor rollers, you know, that's why I like these. You know, I consider that to be an extreme breed. I mean, it's taken to the point where it's a flightless bird. And it rolls everywhere. That's wild. It's taking some serious selective breeding to get to that point.
Absolutely. Yeah. Nature wouldn't do that to a bird.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah. The Ken Burns documentary on finding one of those in the jungle would be hilarious.
He must have done it once.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard stories too, even about the Birmingham rollers, that somebody spotted them off a cliffside doing a roll, and then that's how it got started. And you know, from tumblers to rollers to these like extreme spinners that are out now. I mean, you know, it's only going to keep progressing in one direction, you know, just more and more of that desired trade.
Absolutely.
Do you ever have any other hobbies or talents you'd like the whole five people that listen to us to know about?
Not really. I don't have time for anything else with, you know, full-time work, you know, running a business and a family. You know, by the time you sort of get home from work, spend time with the family, tend to the birds, I've got about 70 odd pigeons at the minute, you know, so, you know, they, as you know, they take a little bit of work. And yeah, I love pretty much all animals. You know, I've kept snakes, I've kept spiders, I've kept chickens, ducks, goats, pigs. Yeah, so pretty much everything. I enjoy gardening, but ultimately, if I have to choose one, it's going to be pigeons.
That's awesome. Thanks for coming on, man. And, you know, we were saying earlier, you know, Australia is like, I don't know if it's the second or third, but it's in the top three of our demographic of listeners. So we'll try we'll try to speak more in kilometers and all that other stuff for you guys, and keep the imperial system out of the picture as much as we can.
He's lying. We don't try at all.
I can't do that math. I'm just being nice.
Absolutely.
Well, man, thanks for coming on. Thanks for contributing and supporting the podcast, man. Keep those memes coming. They are great.
I appreciate your time, boy.